Christy.
It is right, Alex.
And as you were saying, a very siren-like element to the fabulous Tallulah Randall's vocals there. Did you feel like run, let the river run?
Yeah, I think her voice is almost hypnotic.
Hypnotic.
It's got kind of a little bit of kind of little dark edge underneath. It's fantastic.
Last week we were
Exactly. We were quote you on that.
It'll be there. I mean, as I said, the Christy Bond, who actually Tallulah is, I won't say equally as creative, but she's an English undergraduate present, soon to be graduate, soon to be postgraduate. And if I recall, you did English in your time at the University of Manchester. Was that the case?
Yeah, that was the case. Yeah.
Proof that you can actually sort of use an English degree to go on to become an ace, multi-award winning, fantastic individual and creative genius. Because you have had a literary theme to a whole range of your all three albums, really. Libellus, Banshee and the Moon, obviously. Share with us, Tal, because I mean, clearly here we have the opportunity to really engage in serious English debate structure, the like of which you probably thought,
wow, that's
yeah,
pressure.
Exactly. Normally we have journalism undergraduates and trying to deal with academic stuff, that can be a bit of a challenge. Now, sorry, Emma, I know you're probably on the ball, but what the Christy, questions or thoughts for Tal about her appreciation of English literature?
Okay. So what are your kind of favourite areas of English literature? What did you enjoy studying most at your time at university?
I got really into the civil rights movement and American literature, actually. I was really into Charles Dickens as well. I used to love the way that he told characters, just he kind of really entered into the world that he created, and I always found that really inspiring as a lyricist, creating this sort of slightly otherworldly space that you could sort of narrate these stories.
Are you looking forward, considering that you like the civil rights and the American literature, are you looking forward to reading Harper Lee's new upcoming sequel to To Kill a Mockingbird, which we've all been waiting for
wow.
what seems like forever?
For decades.
Yes.
So I'm just going to give someone. We're just actually on our way at the moment to a gig, and that's my Google Maps.
Oh Lord! That's what we love about Tal. You see, that's the kind of quality. There are musicians around who say, "I can't. I've got to do this," but Tal will do the thing whilst dealing with Google Map directions as well. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So where are you at present? Can we help? I mean, we have actually navigated Phil Leonis around a car park in Los Angeles, so maybe we can actually help with your good self at all.
No, we're just continuing on the A370, 4 miles into Bristol. We've got the first night of the tour, doing a little warm-up gig at a place called the Galley Malfrey. And so Nick, who's playing drums with me at the moment, he's driving us in, and we've just had to release a mouse, which we caught this morning. It's been a very active day. We had a bit of a rehearsal, caught a mouse, and now we're driving
to
a gig.
It was just a musical mouse, Tal. The mouse actually simply wanted to groove on in its own way to, the Tallulah Randall sound, It could be the sort of creative mouse that we actually had in terms of that Disney mouse who sort of ended up... Yeah, exactly. It could be that sort
of
mouse.
That's it, roughly. So yeah, first night of the tour, and the tour goes until April the 17th, I think, something like that.
And some of those touring days, I mean, I'm looking currently at a post that you put up yesterday at 5:43 p.m. in London.
Uh-huh.
Day 21, Pen Courage, tells the story behind pictures such as this one, taken for Trust in Me. So, I mean, this is something I think, Christy, you're particularly interested in terms of the whole album, the whole Banshee and the Moon concept that's around from that point of view. Thoughts from your own point of view, Christy?
I mean, I love what you've done with this. I think it's absolutely fantastic that you're giving kind of your listeners even more kind of idea about what your songs are about, and you're giving it kind of like a story, and the pictures are just fantastic in it. They're kind of, they're haunting almost, the pictures in there. They're fantastic.
Thank you. Well, that was kind of, that's always been my thing, is kind of creating pieces of art to marry the songs and just to really invite people into the world of the music, of the lyrics, of the stories, and creating something that people will actually want to keep rather than just downloading the song and kind of it just getting lost on your kind of iTunes archive, actually having a physical copy of it and really getting a little more of an insight into what what inspired the lyrics and what inspired the melodies, and kind of, I don't know, just reminding people that there are still songwriters out there that do have this kind of vision, that do tell their own stories and do kind of share in that way, rather than, you know, there's a lot of great music out there and a lot of great music that is kind of produced and manufactured and written by kind of marketing engineers, but there is also a lot of great music that's actually storytelling, like troubadours, like the old kind of 60s and 70s, where people kind of, you know, shared their journeys. And that for me is something that's really important, something that I'm really wanting to do and wanted to do with all my albums. So that's kind of why, basically.
I frequently said, Tal, that the day when Tallulah Rendell and the word autotune is used in the same sentence is the day that civilization falls. Because I'm amazed that Nick's actually brought on board to play drums, because really you do the lot as well. I mean, as I've seen you performing at the Rebecca Hossack Gallery and last week, Rachel, of course, sort of singing your praises, etc. Multi-talented in every sense of the word there. Rachel,
well,
of course.
I mean, it's been great just to kind of, I mean, because a lot of people, it's really strange when you're doing doing shows, and my booking agent, I started working with a booking agent last year, and he had loads of problems by booking me gigs if it was just me, because people have this image of a singer-songwriter, and that unless you've actually seen me play live, you don't have an awareness of all the different elements that I do, and you have to start playing. You've got to get more of a fan, because it's more members, because it's just really difficult to get your gigs. And then I did a gig in London, and Nick Sort was playing with another band, and so he approached me afterwards and asked, you know, if he was kind of doing stuff together. And so yeah, we've been doing it now for just 2 months. Since we've got a plane.
We'll say a little hello to Nick. Yeah. Is he driving? It's obviously not safe for him to do a full interview at present. So, you know, a little hello to Nick, and he can listen to the podcast afterwards. So there we are.
He's waving, but keeping his eyes on the road.
Yeah, I should hope so too. I mean, let's face it, you know, it's very critical in that sense of the word. As the whole thing proceeds, obviously the tour is off there now. You can, amazingly enough, and you might like to share this with your fellow Norwich folk, Christy, because you know, parents might go, I mean, if they're excited about the X-Files that we're sort of working through, you can actually have Tallulah Rendell perform in your living room. In your very own living room.
Oh my goodness.
Would you like to explain how that's possible, Tallulah? Because people would say, not
what
exactly? What?
Basically, when I was doing crowdfunding for Alive back in 2010, one of the things was I would go and play in people's houses, and it worked so well that I decided when I came back from Berlin that I'd just do it again. And I decided to put this message up on Facebook and said, if you want me to come and play, then just invite me and I'll just rock up, I'll be there. And then, so the way that it works is, you know, say, Alex, you were going to host me, then you just say, right, come next Saturday, and I'd turn up next Saturday and I'd bring my little setup. You'd invite all your friends or whoever you wanted, your next door neighbours, and they'd all pitch up, and then it's run by donation. So at the end of the night, people just give whatever they want in response to the performances. And yeah, it's just been a really, really wonderful way of touring the UK, and, you know, you just experience a very different way of playing. You really get to tell the stories, you really get to meet all the people, and to play a good, proper, you know, long set rather than, you know, half an hour and a little venue somewhere. You get to play kind of 2 hours, and so it's really, really rewarding for me as a musician, and I think that the audiences really, really value it, because they're actually getting a proper show, and they're really getting to know me, and they're getting lots of the songs rather than the handful of songs. And so,
and that is why, Tallulah Rendell, you are, I will always be, Woman of the Year, whatever year it happens to be. Share with us, how's that been going? Because obviously that was very exciting that you were sort of nominated for one of these sort of top 10 influential folk, etc.
Yeah, that was incredible. And being asked to perform at it as well was incredible. Towards the end of last year, I was invited to the Hilton in London, and it was 500 people sit down, black tie, gonna do, and I was the only person singing. And just before I got up to sing, it was actually two categories before my own category, which was the arts and culture category. So I was kind of really nervous anyway. And then I was getting up, going up onto the stage, the woman said, just, you know, just so you know, like, sometimes they can be quite noisy. We've done this before, so, you know, don't worry if it's really noisy. So I think, oh, okay, you know, they're going to be 500 people kind of munching their desserts and not really taking much notice of me. And then I started singing a song, and it was just, you could have heard a pin drop. It was completely dead silent. And it was one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had, actually, just singing to this audience of people. And then I got this incredible accolade from two or three different people just talking about my books and what I'd done, and just really acknowledging everything that I'd done independently. And it's really the first time, aside from on your wonderful shows, that's really happened to me.
It was always going to happen. From the moment that your mum first put us in touch together, we felt this is ready to work out, and we've hopefully stayed with you and will continue to do so.
It's been amazing.
Couple of quick key factors, because obviously, as you rightly said, on today, the 18th of February, you're in Bristol at Gallimaufry.
Yeah.
Tomorrow you're in Stroud at the Prince Albert.
Yeah.
On the 20th of February, you're back in Bristol at Mr. Wolf's and number 51 Stokes Croft, which is obviously that, you see, there we are. Sorry, if everybody rocks up now to the number 51 Stokes Croft, blame the midweek drive. It's okay.
Yeah.
it's a whole routine. But worry not, Christy, because I see that on the 17th of March, 2015, at the bicycle shop in Norwich. The bicycle shop. Do you know the bicycle shop?
I think so. I think I know where it is. Yeah.
There we are. Tallulah Randall in full force, followed by Peterborough on the 18th of March. Again, a living room gig. The 21st of March, Glastonbury. So you're back at Glastonbury again. You realise that the actual sort of event itself doesn't take place for a few months, Tal, and you have been on stage before.
I'm going to be there.
Very early. Damn good. That's what we like to hear. London, of course, at the Waterettes on the 26th of March, and then concluding at the Lomax in Liverpool on April the 17th. TallulahRendell.com.
And how far is Stockton from you?
Sixth of March, and I will be there. Yes. Given that our other studio, our Southside Broadcasting studio, is just about 2 miles away from that, so I'll.
Oh, amazing!
Yeah, exactly. Right, touch base on that. If you're obviously in Lincoln, Stockton is 126 miles north, but you can jog it.
Right.
Okay, just a way forward. You know, I just like to keep people abreast of those kind of things. Tal, as you begin to approach, have you arrived in Bristol yet? How's it been going?
We've just got to Bristol. We're just stuck in traffic.
That's ideal. Ideal
for traffic. So
what, Tal? What ideal tune from your good self? I mean, we could go "Lay Me Down," "Only You," "Trouble," "Wake Up," "Time Away," "Alive," "Nothing Is Over," "Ghost," etc. What tune would you say would be ideal to actually support people currently in that traffic jam in Bristol? Never let me say we don't give traffic and travel information out.
God. What about "Go My Way"?
You know, I think that's an ideal chart. You see, again, this is one of the reasons why Tal always sing these graduations so often. Tal, have you had a reasonably interesting telephone link with us on the programme today?
I have, as always. I'd expect nothing less. The benchmark is very high.
Well, and if you're a little mouse out there, don't worry, it wasn't anything personal. It's okay.
I know, poor little mouse.
Didn't matter. It'll be all sorts to work its way through, and I'm sure you can enjoy the whole thing. So I take it, Tal, you will return in the very near future?
I will indeed.
Yay!
Much love to you all.
That I am running free, boundless steps, childlike on the breeze. And friend, watch as she's soaring now, up skies of sea. Oh, I can go.
Last week when we pressed this button, we got an interesting response, of course, from Richard Edwards. Let's see what happens this week when we go.
I'm Dave Bradley from SFX Magazine, and you're listening to The Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
He gets all over the place, that Dave Bradley, doesn't he, Tara Bennett?
Oh, he does. He's our fearless leader. We love him.
Fearless leader. Now, there's a phrase I once heard referred to Stan Lee, of course, in charge of the Marvel Comics empire. But I think Dave Bradley would be duly honoured that your good self, Tara, who, let's face it, Tara, you're many other people's fearless leaders, especially your students, in all sorts of ways, that actually that's been acknowledged as a fearless leader. Very good. Marvellous. Not Commander-in-Chief, but fearless leader, because let's face it, that's Barack Obama. And, you know, there is a possibility that David Bradley could become the next President of the United States, but it's a remote chance. However,
I like it, but I don't think either one of us would want that job.
to be honest, Tara, I think you should seriously consider throwing your hat into the ring, because, I mean, Hillary could do a certain amount of stuff, but, you know, ultimately, President Tara Bennett, I think it has a nice ring to it.
I think running on a geek platform might get me a couple extra votes, but I don't know if I could go all the way.
I think it's high time that the geeks did inherit the Earth and the thing would work our way through that whole process. So looking at the current edition 258 of SFX magazine, once again, we see those wonderful crafted words as ever, because it's a treat unparalleled, Christy, when I sort of look through the thing and I think, I look straight away to see where are Tara Bennett's articles. That's the sort of level that one's reached now in terms of the sequence. And when I say, amazing, you know, that's that sort of response emerges in every sense of the word. You know, we'll hold back, you know, because too much chicery, too much geekery, you know, even if it is. Late Achiever, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. looks like it's getting even more intriguing as Tara Bennett finds out from Agent Coulson, Clark Gregg. When we mentioned about the Agent Coulson interview, it certainly set off the excitement of some of the No Adults Allowed people. I said, well, we'll see. Clark Gregg might join us, but we've got even better Tara Bennett online, and that's even more exciting because you even use I Spy, as in the classic Robert Culp Bill Cosby series, to head up the piece. Genius.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. That's an oldie but a goodie, and you know, the precursor to a lot of what we see you know, in the current spy genres now. And it was really great to talk to Clark, and he's always just a very sweet and very savvy, he's multi-talented, you know, he directs, he writes, he does his own, a lot of stuff behind the scenes that people don't get the chance to see, but he's always just, you know, a lot of people know him as Coulson, and God knows we love him as Coulson, but he's a very renaissance-y kind of man, so yeah, it was a pleasure to talk to him last month.
Excellent. Do you think it kind of sits in the same category as Victor Gerber? I mean, for different reasons, I'm thinking in terms of, you know, authenticity and actors, you think that's a possibility?
Oh, that's a good question. Spy Daddy was excellent on Alias, and you know, I think they come at it a little differently. You know, Garber's character was definitely in the beginning more withholding, and then as you saw him warm up with Sydney during Alias, he warmed up into a character that you really kind of fell in love with. I think Coulson came out of the gate as a character that was just really just so easy to embrace and was our entry character into, you know, this kind of spinoff. And he's just so warm, and he was always kind of the comic relief, you know, even just subtle, not, you know, too broad, but certainly the comic relief in the Avengers films, kind of connecting all of them in the first phase. So I think he's just a warmer, but I love, you know, how they are putting him through his paces and definitely making him shoulder a whole lot of challenges as the show's gone on, which I think is great. It's great to kind of put that character under some stress and then see where he goes.
You see, that's one of the reasons why she's effective, efficient, and generally quite fair in every sense of the word from that point of view. Christy, questions for Tara Bennett.
When you interviewed Clark Gregg, did you feel like there was a little bit of Coulson in him as a person? A little bit? Because I know, obviously, he acts as Coulson, but...
In many ways, as I said to Phil Linus, I see myself as the Agent Coulson of the Midweek Drive, really. You know,
I can see that, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think so. He's it was across this very strange wood table at a hotel, and we were sitting in a bar, and he felt like he was very far away, and we both were laughing about that. So there's definitely the kind of very kind of wry sense of humor that we get from Coulson is very much a part of Clark Gregg, which is really charming and fun to play off of and ask questions of. But he's really thoughtful, too. That's the thing that I think... is surprising in a wonderful way is how VP really thinks about the character and the constructs of what they're trying to do with the show. So he gets really into it, you know? So he's definitely a nerd. He wears it on his sleeve. He can start talking about, you know, old school characters really quickly. It's not like he looks at you blankly. So that's impressive, too. But he's definitely got a lot of different layers, as well as just being super charming, but then, you know, really smart about the craft of what they're trying to do.
And every so often, Tara, you could always break in, you know, with the next interview we do with Clark Gregg, with, of course, the little... Because I think perhaps maybe a little bit of a disco energy into the interview might just add a different take on the whole sort of system. So it's just
I'm going to do that. I'm loading it on my phone for the next interview. Yeah. I'm going to do it. I totally think that we could have done a dance-off in that interview, and I think he probably would have won.
And straight in, you'd be... Phenomenal. You know, you jump from there to Rachel Abbott.
You're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM, guaranteed to keep you safe from giant lizards.
Something I felt was important.
I like that.
Powers, the series, is dropping in 3 weeks on the PSN. You've got a sneak peek there, an inside look on your Facebook page about Powers, a PlayStation original series based on two homicide detectives assigned to investigate cases involving people with superhuman abilities. Are we getting too many superhero Absolutely. Shows, or is it a case of there can never be enough superhero shows?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Oeming's Powers comic books. I read them years ago when they came out, and they're a different take. They definitely don't take superheroes, it's not like a Flash or Arrow where, it's just right in that world. It's kind of a metaphor for celebrity and what that kind of exposure does to you, using the superhero more in that context, which I think is a really interesting way to kind of play it and explore it. It's much more noir. But this version of Powers, while it has the approval of Brian and Mike, is going to be very different. It stars Sholto Copley, and if you know him from District 9 and the A-Team movie, he's taking over the position of the lead investigator, Christian Walker, and he's doing a very different take on it. So I think if you're a Powers fan from the comic book world, don't be surprised to know that there's going to be some very different kind of twists on what you know is the comic book property into the TV property. But I'm interested. It's a really great cast. It's got it's got Noah Taylor, a lovely Brit, and is the Eddie Izzard, who I adore. And so I'm really looking forward to just seeing what that cast does with even the thematic ideas of it. Even playing with that, I'm interested in seeing it. So,
Christy, you were saying you had some views on The Walking Dead.
Yeah. Have you watched this week's episode yet?
Yeah. What do you think?
I was surprised because I was talking to my partner about this, and we were saying how nothing really happens in most of the episodes. They're kind of just like, there's always like something that keeps you kind of going back at the end, but the majority of this week's episode was just kind of them walking and about the dynamics between them and the kind of the symbolism and, you know, talking about the death of the major character at the end of the last half season, which I'm not going to reveal because I know some people still haven't seen it.
Right.
But the bit at the end of the episode in the barn, that was, I thought that was amazing how they did that with the flashing of the lights. It's fantastic. I don't know if you like that a little bit.
I did. The last two episodes have been kind of experimental for the show, which is what I really enjoyed because, a show 5 years in, it can get really boring for the people that are making it and for the people that are watching it. You know these characters. Now, of course, they're turning around characters, turning them in and out on the show a lot, so it does feel fresher than most shows. But it definitely could be a place where they're resting on their laurels. And I really have enjoyed, I think the one before this week was more successful and being a little experimental and engaging. But I like that they're trying new things, and I do like that you get a chance to kind of learn the characters before they take them away from you, which they do so often on the show. So I don't mind the breeding point so much, and I write for The Walking Dead magazine, and I was on set for the episode that's coming up in a week. So I definitely do know that there are some definitely interesting grounding things that are going to happen very soon that will not feel kind of like they're just wandering. There'll be a lot more purpose coming, which is pretty exciting.
See, that's why being adjunct teacher at Rowan University and author at Titan Books makes Tara Bennett just that little bit more extra specially wonderful. The jaw was dropping from Christy when you said I was on the Walking Dead set. Well, they're dead and they walk. That's all. It's all routine.
I'm going to have to add you on Facebook.
Oh, wondrous stuff.
Please do.
Yeah. I will.
I was a zombie on the show.
Oh, yes. Wow. How long does it take for them to put all the makeup on and everything?
About an hour and 45 minutes to put it on, and then about an hour and 15 minutes to take it off. So the on and off process is very close, because they can't just take it off. It's made out of latex, and if they just rip it off your skin, I would look like a zombie forever.
And they're not,
They're
not real
it
brains.
It was a lot of fun.
Excellent. Tara, obviously remembering Paul Terry, who likes the fact that you're on Siren, and quite rightly so. Yes, Paul, you'll be on Siren as well before too long. Fantastic stuff that you're also involved with. But I've got a little mini confession to make. I decided over the weekend to give a second chance to Star Trek Into Darkness. It had been canned, and I thought, yeah, you've got your Enterprise underwater. Why did they do that? What's happening? And I have to say, second time round, even with Michael Giacchino's music in the background, I thought it was okay. I have now revisited Star Trek Into Darkness, and I now come out thinking, it's okay. What about yourself?
Well, that's a sea change, my friend. You were not happy with that film, so I'm saying that you actually are saying okay. I honestly, I should call Bad Robot and let them know, because I don't think I know anybody that's a hardcore Star Trek fan from the original days that has watched that movie and not liked it.
Well,
any kind of a second chance. So good for you.
I think so. I mean, purely and simply because, again, I just thought, why did they do the homage to you can only do that so far before you think, no.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I just had a conversation with somebody about that the other day, and we both kind of agreed that we wish they had, that the second movie had been the place where they had kind of forged their own storyline, and maybe had some illusions, some Easter eggs, but yeah, they really went on the nose, and I think that was probably not so
exactly.
Good.
No, not Khan. I mean, sure, that you've got the Squire of Gothos. You've got the Emeniar 7. You've got Ambassador Fox. You've got even the Q entity, if they wanted to sort of mess around with the generations. There's so much they could actually done. Let's hope that obviously now that J.J. Abrams is Star Warsing, that things will actually sort of get better for the 50th anniversary, which of course is kind of still
and
with
true,
us.
And Simon Pegg is writing, so I can't wait to see what he's going to decide to jump on and find worthy. So yeah, let's cross our fingers on that.
Phenomenal. Tara, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the program today?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So I take it we can look forward to the usual Tara Bennett feature coming across in March, when you'll join us again with more exciting goodness and stuff and all sorts of other wonderful things that you bring across from the Atlantic Ocean.
Yes,
please. Yay! Exactly. And from that to James House, who's up next, another in our singer-songwriter, the fourth singer-songwriter we featured on the show today. Tara, do you actually sing and play music?
I don't, but I appreciate it very, very much. I'm a huge aficionado of lots of different music, so I'm going to listen. And I loved the singer before me, so now let's listen to a new one. You're adding new music to my iPod.
This is James House and No Mercy, as in K-N-O-W. No Mercy. And indeed, Christy Bond, you actually first heard No Mercy, sung by James House, where?
In the shower.
In the shower.
Yesterday.
In the shower. No clothes on, listening to James House and No Mercy. Well, I won't say me too, but James House, welcome to the production. How are you?
Good, how are you guys?
Very well indeed. I don't know, have you ever had any sort of audience that said, James, I love your music, I particularly like to listen to it whilst I'm in the shower?
I'll take it.
Listen,
That's a good one.
Well, you work on that. Now, I'm looking at jameshousemusic.com, and there are some phenomenal lines here. I mean, just some of the highlights of the 1995's This Is Me Missing You. Marina McBride, co-written Broken Wing, of course, went to number one on the Country Hit Parade. You are just a legend, and this is one of the reasons why we're delighted to have you on the programme. Cameron Tilbury clearly sort of said, this is fantastic. A new CD is coming out, a grand old Opry debut in May. The very same grand old Opry of Nashville, a second appearance in August, and is sold out. I'll say that again. Yes, sold out. 19 city tour of the UK in July 2014. But you're coming back, are you not, James?
Yes, I'll be back here in about 3 weeks, I think, March 3rd. So
that's March.
I'm really looking forward to it.
April 2015.
Yeah, we start over in Belfast, and we'll come up our way, up your way. First of April, I think, for Cabinets.
Jillian. Now, when I mentioned to Cameron, I was very impressed with the fact that you actually sent a personal message thanking me for sort of being featuring on the music on the show. Cameron simply said, well, he's from Texas. He's always polite. They're always polite like that in Texas. They just say thank you. I thought, this is the James House. It's just, you know, it's amazing from that point of view. Christy, what are your questions for James?
I would like to know what the weather's like where you are right now.
Yeah, good question. What is the weather like?
Okay, we've been in freeze here the last 4 or 5 days in Nashville. Like it's the first bad winter we've had in years. So it's actually snowed in for the last 3 days. This is the first day that the roads have kind of opened up. So it's been on ice. We've just been in like an iceberg for the last 3-4 days, but we needed it actually. But
I have just actually formally liked James House on Facebook. I'm just announcing that. Cause,
you know, thank you.
Yeah. Yes. And I see the line, want to be in my video. Click here for more info. How can people be in your video, James?
Well, it's that we just finished it, so we'll be pulling that down. The video, we just did Meet Too, and we're very excited about it. So my director is editing right now, and it should be done any moment now. So a lot of great entries and stuff, and we'll be making an announcement in the next couple of days.
It'll work through that. Some of the artists you've worked with, I mean, Christy, you're particularly interested in Kylie Minogue, I believe.
Yeah, my whole family loves Kylie Minogue.
Well, then they
She cut a song of mine back in the 80s. It was a song called I'll Never Let You Go. And that song got cut by her and Rita Coolidge and a couple of people. So I'm very excited to have her cut that song, actually. So she was still on the TV show at that time, the sitcom. So.
Oh, is that Neighbours?
I think it is Neighbours.
Yeah, I think so, right?
Well, yeah.
Right, so that was...
We described it as a soap opera, this side of the Atlantic, but, you know, it's okay. Sitcom probably could well be seen as a situation comedy in some cases, but, you know, she did marry Jason, or did she not marry Jason? It was Jason. Jason Donovan, that's right. Jason Donovan, Kylie Minogue. That's the sort of connection. She should have been honoured to have actually had your music come at a time where she was being swamped with Stock, Aitken, Waterman material. Not that we've got anything against Stock, Aitken and Waterman, but in their own way. They just do their own system. James, share with us in terms of your sort of inspiration. Who inspires you as a writer and a singer-songwriter?
You know, I keep going back. I listen to new people all the time, and then I go back to the records that inspired me when I was a kid. So I kind of go back and forth between... I think for this record, I went back and listened to some Merle Haggard and... I listen to my old Days Gone By record, and I, you know, my friends the Mavericks, I'll listen to their new record. And I was there with them for a little bit. But more than anything on this record, I wrote a song with a guy named Danny O'Keefe, and Danny was one of my heroes when I was a kid. He had a big hit called Good Time Charlie's Got the Blues, and it was number one back in like 1971, 72. So I was just a kid then, but I remember learning that song and loving it, and we became friends on Facebook a couple of years ago, and he knew who I was, which I was like, wow, I was surprised with that. So I sent him a piece of music and a title, and he sent me back the lyric, and that really kind of, that was Songwriter Serenade, and that became, I thought, well, maybe I should just work with writers who I've always wanted to work with. So Jamie Johnson came on board, who was one of my favorites, Mike Reed, who wrote "You Can't Make I Can't Make You Love Me" for which was a smash hit over Bonnie Raitt. Who else? Bill Anderson is just a legend. You know, he just had Song of the Year 4 or 5 years ago.
It just goes to show, James, that quality will always attract quality. That's the classic thing. I mean, we mentioned people that have recorded songs written by a good self. The Mavericks, Beth Hart, Steve Holly, Steve Azar, Rod Stewart, Bonnie Tyler, Olivia Newton-John, aforementioned Kylie Minogue, Laurie Morgan. Fantastic. We could talk for hours, and we will have to sort of rearrange our whole schedule, but we've got to go head off to Los Angeles in a few moments, and you know what those Los Angeles directors are like, James. If you're a few moments late, they get very antsy. They get a bit concerned about the whole thing. I know it's Phil Leonis, but I've already sort of said that I'm reviewing my thoughts about Star Trek Into Darkness. He could be in a very tense mood, if only for the fact that, you know, Matt Taylor knows bits and pieces. But, James, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the production this evening? Have you enjoyed being with the Midweek Drive?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, and I can't wait to come over and visit everybody and meet everybody as much as I can. So I'll see you guys in about a month.
Well, I think that'd be right? Great. And if we can get you into Lincoln, that'd be fantastic. We're wrapping up. We've already featured No Mercy. We've featured Me Too. It's over getting over the penultimate, so James House number. James, we salute you. We'll speak again very soon.
Thank you all so much.
Walking the floor at home with my head hung low, wearing the mask of a clown so my friends don't know, watching old reruns until 2. I'm so old.